From NBC Sports, your NHL fixture, Doc Emrick. And Doc, first, Orion Samuelson announces his retirement. Now you, what are we supposed to do?
Orion is magnificent. You know, I hear him on Saturday mornings. It's probably about 5:30 in the morning out here. But I wake up early a lot of times. I just wish I had a voice like that. My goodness.
Yeah, listen, you've done pretty well with yours. And obviously, you haven't missed a step over the years. You love the game. So why not just cut back a little bit? You know what I mean? It's my plan. You know, I'd like to start doing like 1 hour a week eventually.
Well, that's what I started doing 5 years ago. I dropped back to just one game a week. I was doing two, which involves 6 days. Two games involve 6 out of the 7 days because it was travel the day before, and then doing the game and attending the skates in the morning, and then it was travel back. Every game's a road game when you're doing network games. And there was a time when I was 65, I'm 74 now, when I did 8 games in 10 days in 8 different cities. And you can't kid yourself that the 8th game was as good as the first one, because you just can't do that much work. And so anyway, older people than I would sit around and ask how long I was going to do this. And I said, I love the job and I enjoy doing it. And they said, well, when it comes time to retire, you'll know when it is. And that knowledge to me came sometime between the second and third round of the playoffs this year. And it wasn't that I was frustrated with my work or anything. It just came the realization that there were a lot of round numbers there. I had done NHL games for 40 years on television, and it was 50 years since I covered my first NHL game as a beat reporter, and 60 years since I'd seen my first game. And it seemed to me like this was the right time, because thanks to NBC enabling me to do games at home all the way through the playoffs, I was healthy, and I'd been able to keep my health, knock on wood. And my wife was healthy, and our menagerie of animals were all good. And so this was seemingly the time. And so then the chore was to keep it to myself and also to work hard that last month so that I could convince myself that I had gone out and worked as hard as I possibly could rather than coast to the finish line.
Doc, what's the reaction been like since you made the announcement earlier this week?
Well, based on the emails and the text messages I've gotten, people have been very, very supportive and also very kind. I'm not on social media, so I really don't know beyond that. But people have been very cordial to me. I enjoyed your discussion about an hour ago about Joe Buck.
I can relate, right?
Very much, because see, I don't have a horse in the race. My Pirates haven't been in the World Series since 1979, and Joe wasn't doing games then. So I have never had a bias built in when I'm watching a game. Let me tell you a quick story, though. John Davidson and I were doing Fox television, and it was a playoff series in 1997 between the Rangers and the Flyers. And because the cities are close, John drove from his home in suburban New York down to Philadelphia to do the game. And he got back in his car, and after the game was over, and he turned on WIP, the sports talk station in Philadelphia. And for about a half hour up the New Jersey Turnpike, he heard about what a Flyer hater he was. And then, as he got out of the range of WIP, he turned on WFAN in New York, and he heard the callers telling him, the Rangers broadcaster, what a Ranger hater he was. And he got out of his car when he got home, and he decided he'd done a pretty good job.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my point.
You know, as you were saying, Dave, you can't win in these situations because people bring their passions to watching these games. As I said, I'm a Pirate fan, so I haven't been in critical games in a long time. But I do like the fact that the guy that I'm listening to is Greg Brown in Pittsburgh, and he's cheering for my team.
Sure,
I like that. And I like the fact that when I listen to you and I care about the Cats, that you get excited when the Cats get a touchdown.
I hope that happens a lot starting Saturday.
Doc, are you living in Michigan these days?
Yeah. We've lived here for 25 years, you know, with network employment. Why, they let you live where you want. And this is where my first hockey job was 47 years ago It was a minor league team, and they still do have a level of minor league hockey here. And I just I fell in love with a woman from here. We've been married 42 years, and I always thought we've been all over the country ever since, and we always thought we'd have to retire to come back here, but then I fortunately got a network job, and that enabled me to live where I wanted to. So we've been back here for 25 years.
Would you stop in there and do a minor league game one night next year?
No, probably not. I think my play-by-play days are finished. And it's not because I don't want to. It's just that that's a wonderful memory for me these times. And I don't have the urge now to just run in and grab a microphone and show that I can do it. I want to be around people that are doing it, and I like coaching people. I get submissions from various people across the country that are aspiring announcers, high school and college kids, and I love listening to those and then just giving them one free opinion of what I think. But I've had a chance to do that, and I've had a lot of wonderful memories of doing it. But to rush right out and do it again because I have an itch to do it, no, I don't have that right now.
You've called so many Blackhawks games over the years, and especially over the past decade, a lot of games from the United Center, and they were generally good games and important games. During their run over the past decade, is there a moment, is it the 17 seconds in Boston in Game 6 that would be the one that stands out for you?
Well, that was certainly one, but you know, the one that stands out is because it was the first time, I don't know, since before World War II, that the Blackhawks won at home was in 2015,
right,
because
right.
In 61 they won in Detroit, mm-hmm. and then they won on the road the two other times in the early stretches in Philadelphia and in Boston. But here was one where Duncan Keith, who was the yeoman all that year and won the Conn Smythe for MVP, he scores on a rebound of his own shot, and then Patrick Kane mashes one in later on. And now it looks like it's okay to celebrate. But there's thunder and lightning and tornadoes, and the Kennedy Expressway is closed outside, and the cup isn't there. They have this tradition of having the cup arrive, and that tradition is dead now because of that night in 2015. They have this tradition of the cup arriving during the third period so they can dramatically take it out of the box and show that it's there. Well, it gets sidetracked because of all the rain, and eventually it takes a police escort in a lot of dangerous traffic situations to get the cup there. And the Blackhawks are still celebrating on the ice, having won the game. They've gone through the handshakes and everything else, and they're still out there. And there's a bit of a delay, but we are allowed. Sam Flood, our producer, said, we're holding off on telling why the cup isn't there. And finally, he said, you can break the embargo. Explain what's going on. And so I was able to explain that, hey, it's not here yet. Neither is the Conn Smythe trophy because they're both in the same vehicle. Then we have a camera in the runway near the Zamboni entrance that is showing that here it has finally arrived. And so they hurriedly present the Conn Smythe and then the Stanley Cup comes out. But the fact that you have the crowd making the noise, unlike the other times when the Blackhawks won, that's what made the night special.
Yeah, well, you know what? You just made our morning hearing your voice. Mike, Doc, Emmerich, all the best to you, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road. Doc, all the best. Thank you so much for the
time
today.
Thank you so much.